so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Man, we got such a great weekend planned for you this weekend. This is a local legends weekend, all right? And so welcome, by the way, welcome online. If you're joining us tonight, we're glad you're here. We've got four different preachers over our four different services this weekend, okay? So what we're doing, all of them, we all sat down together, right? And we're all, it's the same sermon, the same points, the same scripture, but from four different people, all right? So tonight, we've got Embrace the Unexpected, and this is an unexpected treat for you, so you'll embrace it tonight, amen? And so every single service, you'll get a different perspective on the same scripture and the same points and the same topic. And tonight, we're just so blessed. We've got Pastor Sean Cully, our West Campus pastor. This guy's a legend. This guy is an absolute legend. One of my greatest, greatest friends. And I'm just so glad that he's preaching tonight. Couldn't think of a better way to kick off local legends and introduce somebody to our West Campus pastor. So give him a hand as he gets ready to preach. Love you, brother.
Thanks, Pastor Jesse. Hey, hold on just a second. Can we give it up for Pastor Jesse and Pastor Lauren? Come on. She's not here tonight. She's taking a much well-deserved week off. But they, for the last over 8 years now, have invested not just time, money, power, everything they've got into making sure this church and all of Central Iowa and Iowa altogether know that Jesus is good. Amen? Can we give it up for Pastor Jesse and Pastor Lauren? Love you, Pastor Jesse. Hallelujah. It's going to be a good night. Amen? I'm excited. Y'all ready to hear from Word tonight? You ready to hear from Jesus? Pastor Jesse's smart. He's going backstage. He knows what I'm preaching on, so he's going to get as far away as possible. You never know what's going to happen when I get up here, so you better be ready. Front, like two, three rows. You're in the splash zone. I'm just saying. You ever been to SeaWorld? No, not like saliva. I'm not sick or anything. I'm talking about like I might bust out a super soaker or something. It's going to be a good night. Let's pray real quick, shall we? God, thank you so much for all that you've done in this place already. You've softened hearts. You've prepared people to hear your word. I pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit would anoint this time for us to receive something powerful. God, that we would see you in the detour. God, that we wouldn't just see you, but that we look for people in every situation we walk into. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Would you stand up? Just keep standing up for me for just a minute. Like Pastor Jesse said, my name's Sean. I'm the pastor of the West Campus out in Adel. Where are my West Campus people at? Come on. I love those people. I mean, I love all of you, but I'm just going to be honest with you. They're my favorite, okay? I love them so much. It's been a wild, it's not even been a year yet, but we've been growing and exploding like you would not believe. I would encourage you, stay at this campus. It's amazing because we're running out of room out there, okay? I'm just saying. It's going to be great what God does, not just in the next year, but the next 20, 30, 40 years, right? It's going to be awesome. Also, we've been praying for you. Like Pastor Brandon said on the video, we've been expecting you to be here. If this is your first time, we love you. We've been praying for a long time. And if this is your first day, right after service, out those double black doors and to the right, there's going to be people waiting to bless you. Not with a bag of trinkets or garbage. We bought good stuff to make sure you know that we love you and we want to bless you, all right? So right after service, pop. Did I just turn off my... Okay, good. Let's keep standing for the word. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Here it is. Whatever you do, say that with me. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's going to be a good night. How many of us know, you guys can have a seat, by the way. Thank you very much for staying up for that. How many of us know that that's easy when everything's going according to plan? When the budget's lined up, the vacations are scheduled, the children are in school, hallelujah, right? I mean, I love summer, don't get me wrong, right? Going to the beach is good, but I love it when my kids go back to school. It makes my life so much easier. But what about when the detour gets thrown in the mix? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. When things don't quite turn out the way that you thought they would. My first story tonight is one of my favorite stories about what happens when a detour gets thrown in the mix. It was the summer of 2003, okay? I had been spending a few years. By then, Holly and I had been dating for about 2.5, 3 years. We were living in San Diego, California. Beautiful city. We loved it. It was awesome. And I knew, this is way better, but I knew that she was the one. She was smart. She was funny. She could put up with me. She's fine. Like, she's the total package, okay? And so I did what any smart guy does. You find a girl willing to say yes, you ask as soon as possible, all right? So I had it all planned out. I went to the expensive jewelry store. I went and got an expensive ring. I got a bottle. In fact, my wife's got this bottle here ready for us. This is the bottle that I used. I put the ring, tied it to a note, and tied it to a string and put it in the bottle. Our favorite beach was La Jolla Shores. And at La Jolla Shores, if you walk north along the coast, you'd get to some beautiful houses and then eventually Scripps Pier, which is right next to Scripps Aquarium at University of California, San Diego. It's beautiful. But if you go past that, there's some cliffs. And just beyond those cliffs, or there, it's by the cliffs, but just past where you get to the cliffs, there's these awesome tide pools that you can see, like starfish and crabs, and sometimes there's some octopus in there. And I was going to have our other friend, who's also named Holly, meet us there ahead of time, put the bottle in the sand, maybe draw like a heart or something around it, you know, in the sand. And she was going to hide around the rocks. And when I got there, I was going to get on one knee, pull the cork out of the bottle, rip the ring out, and pop the question to my beautiful bride. And we were going to be excited. I didn't really have a plan what we was going to do after that. I was a guy, let's be honest. We don't plan that far ahead. But I knew we were going to have a good time. I knew she was going to say yes, because, I mean, come on, look at me. And then And so we got to the beach, right? Holly and I get there, which is not out of the ordinary for us at this time of our lives. We went to the beach often. But usually we're people who do stuff. If you've ever hung out with Holly or I, you know that we're not just kind of like be people. Like, we want to go do something. Like, usually if you come to our house for dinner, we're going to feed you dinner, and then we're probably going to play a crazy game. Or we're going to watch something crazy on the TV. Or we're just going to do something fun. Because we're not just like chill people, right? And so when we got there, a text from our friend Holly, who said, hey, I'm at the airport, my friend's flight's delayed, who I'm picking her up from, and I'm gonna be late. I need you to stall for like half hour, 45 minutes. So I'm like, crap, we've got to just become bee people all of a sudden, which she's gonna figure out something's going on, right? And so I'm like, hey, let's just walk the boardwalk. Let's just enjoy a nice stroll, which I'm sure at the time she was thinking, okay, this is definitely not my boyfriend, because he doesn't walk. Like, and if his surfboard's within 100 yards, he's going to be in the water. So something's up. And so we just start walking. She kind of ignored it. We just walking along the boardwalk, enjoying a nice, it was somewhat beautiful. It wasn't crazy. I think my mic, hold it higher. Is that better? Very good. So we start walking along the beach, and about a half hour later, I'm kind of getting sick of walking by now, and also I'm a little nervous. Even though I know she's going to say yes, I'm still nervous because, guys, am I right? Even though you know what the answer is going to be, it's terrifying, right? It's absolutely petrifying, right? And so this half an hour seemed like eternity, but finally she texted me, said she was there, and she starts hustling up towards the tide pools. And I'm like, well, if she's running, then we've got time. We'll start walking that way. It's like, hey, babe, let's go check out the tide pools. Let's see what's going on up there. And she's like, we've been walking for a while. Let's just go back. I was like, no, trust me. It's going to be cool. And so we start walking up that way. We get close to the pier where, I mean, so the aquarium's up on the hill, right? Yeah. The hill, there's like a seawall, and out of the seawall is this like pipe. And out of the pipe is coming water from the aquarium back into the ocean. So you've got to jump over this little stream of water, and I'm just going to say it, fish poo, all right? It was water and fish poo. It was disgusting. There's seaweed everywhere. You've got to navigate this to get to the beautiful part. Because how many times you got to know? How many times, sometimes in order to get something beautiful, you got to go through something nasty, right? So sometimes you got to go through something nasty to get something beautiful. So we navigate the nasty. We go past the pier. We get towards where the cliffs are going to be. And I noticed something that I had not accounted for. And that's that the tide was coming in. This is bad. Okay, this isn't just bad, this is tragic. Because if the bottle's up there, where I told her to put it, that bottle is probably gone now. because the tide was coming in. And so as we're walking that way, she goes, oh, I guess we can't go to the tide pools. The tide's coming in. And I'm like, oh, no, we're going to the tide pools. Believe you me, we're getting to those tide pools, baby. And so we start trudging through the surf because it's breaking up against the cliffs at this point. Water's probably, what, thigh deep, maybe even waist deep. And this Pacific Ocean water, we're talking 55, 60 degrees. It is not warm. It's cold. And so we start trudging through the surf when all of a sudden I get a text from our friend Holly who says, hey, you passed it like 200 yards ago. She saw that the tide was high, and I was like, thank you, Jesus. I mean, it stinks that my pants are wet and we're freezing, but at least the $2,000 bottle's still there, right? I was really scared. Let's be honest. I was terrified. And so we turn around, we walk back past the pier, and all of a sudden we see this bottle in the sand. Well, I see the bottle in the sand. I'm like, oh, hey, babe, what's this? And I think we've got a picture for you. Is that up there? There we go. Okay, so you can see the nastiness, right? You got the seaweed. You've got the pipe over here out of the wall. That was not smelling good, people, let me tell you. It was not my idea of the perfect spot to pop the question. It was nasty. It smelled horrible. So I get down on one knee. I'm kind of leaning over the bottle, and I feel a tap on my shoulder. And she goes, what are you doing? I'm like, I found this cool bottle. Let's check it out. She goes, that's disgusting. You have no idea where that's been. And I'm like, babe, no. Let's just check it out. She gets along with Pastor Jesse really well. Super germaphobes over here. She's like, no, seriously, you don't know. You better put that down now, or I'm not kissing you the rest of the night. And I'm like, no, just let's just see what's inside. And so I pull the cork out, and then I see her distracted. And I'm like, what is she looking at? And so I kind of look behind me, and there's a lady, the lady who's taking the picture, is sitting like 10 feet away snapping pictures of us. And I have never seen this person in my life. I have no idea who this person is. Just some weird creeper picture lady. And so I'm trying to block that out. I'm trying to not breathe through my nose. I'm trying not to look at the seaweed and the nastiness that's surrounding us. And I'm just trying to focus on reading the note and asking this beautiful woman to be my bride. And I finally get the words out, and she says, no way, this is disgusting. No, she didn't say that. She said yes. She said yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we throw a party. Our friends who I had called, our friend Holly and one of our other friends who she called to meet us down there, were actually up by the aquarium on the, not on the cliff, but you can kind of see the wall up there. They're above the wall clapping and cheering and hooting and hollering and being super excited for us. We go back down to La Jolla Shores, have a bonfire, throw a party, and it was a ton of fun, let me tell you. It was so crazy fun that we just had a blast. It was amazing. But my point with that story is that no matter what else happened that day, I was gonna pop the question. That was my goal. That was my singular focus, right? No detour, whether high tide, weird picture lady, or fish poo was gonna stop me from asking this beautiful woman to be my bride. Because my mission was clear, right? I had only one objective. I had one goal, to ask Holly to become my bride. And I was excited. And I did that because I've been thrown for a detour. Anybody else ever been thrown for a detour? Come on, anybody else? Come on. I'm not the only one. I didn't have another option but to be flexible, right? But that's just a part of being human. Has anybody else ever been thrown for a detour? Let me see your hands. Come on. Any type of detour, good, bad, whatever. Everybody's been thrown through for a detour. They've had a wrench thrown in our best laid plans. Whether it's college or a relationship or a job, stuff happens, and we've got to adjust, right? Anybody ever been told that you're just not cut out to play that sport, teenagers? Huh? Been put on the C team? I was put on the bench before. I played football. I was in on two plays my sophomore year. I was on one kickoff and one defensive play, and my coach was like, you know, you're not exactly a tall human being, and you're not exactly the strongest guy out here. And I was like, I'm catching what you're throwing at me, coach. I'm good. I'll find something else. Or maybe you didn't get that part that you're hoping for in the school play, right? Anybody ever apply for a job and been turned down? Can somebody explain to me what it means to be overqualified for a job? Like, if I'm overqualified for this, don't you want me? That doesn't make any sense, bud. Come on. Right? Anybody ever had somebody break up with them or go through a divorce? That's rough, right? That's not easy. Ever sat in a hospital room helpless to do anything but pray as the person you love just looks like they're getting sicker and sicker? That's the worst, right? You can't do anything? What if it's the opposite? Maybe your best laid plans aren't even close to what God has planned for you. How many of you know a good curveball is still a curveball, right? Just because it's unexpected and it's good doesn't mean it's not still unexpected. You've got to embrace that, am I right? Ever got an unexpected promotion or a bonus? Hallelujah, right? That's amazing, but I still got to adjust. And ever fallen in love on the first date? The very first time I saw Holly, we moved to Iowa, and 3 days later, my mom worked at Pella Corporation. We went to Adventureland for Adventureland days at Pella Corp days. Tons of fun. I had one friend at the time because I'd literally just moved to town. He happened to have some friends from Oskaloosa who we met at the Falling Star at Adventureland. And there she was, my bride, who I had never met before or seen, standing there at the Falling Star. And I'm sitting there going, oh, yeah, she's kind of cute. And what do they ask us what we're doing? What do we say? Oh, we're going to pick up chicks. That was my response to my future bride as we're meeting her for the first time at the Falling Star. Going to pick up chicks. I did not pick up any chicks. I was a dork. Still am. Ever been given an extravagant gift that you couldn't possibly fathom to repay? Yeah? So what are we supposed to do in a situation like that? Did you know that God doesn't only care about how you respond to bad detours? He also cares about how you respond to good ones. He wants us to, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen? It says to do everything in the name of the Lord. Not just some things, but what does that mean? It means whatever the situation is, your one goal, your one mission is to bring honor to God. It's your one goal. What better way to honor him than by focusing on what Jesus focused on? The two commandments he highlighted above all others, love God, love people. It's the two biggest things he focused on. And when the Pharisees, Sadducees asked him one of the most important commandments, he said, honor the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, right? And the second one's like it, love God, love people, right? So the two commandments that he highlighted, and what does that mean? It means to look for God and to look for people. Everywhere you go, you look for God and you look for people. You look for people in the detour. But what does that mean? We're going to go to Matthew chapter 14 if you have your Bibles tonight, whether that be paper or electronic. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 13. I'll give you a second to get there. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 through 14, it says, when Jesus heard what had happened. Wait, what happened? Anytime you see that, when somebody heard what had happened or however or because of, we need to find out what he's talking about, right? We got to find some context. So let's go back to verses 1 through 12 and find out what happened. Jesus has just learned that King Herod had tricked somebody into executing Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. One of his best friends just died. In fact, he had to deliver the head, King Herod, in fact, had to deliver the head of John the Baptist on a platter to the daughter of Herodias. So knowing that his best friend is dead, his best friend has just been executed, and in a horrible way. Let's read that again. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. He just wanted a sec. He wanted to take a beat and mourn the loss of his friend and cousin, right? His plan was to be alone. He probably wanted to pray and talk to his father, but no. Curveball, number one. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he was super annoyed because all he wanted to do was go and pray to his dad. Is that what it says? Yes. No, come on. Are you like paying attention here, people? Let's go. Is that what it says? That is not what it says. I was trying to be a little funny there, and it didn't work. Okay, he did not say that, all right? He did not say that. What he said was he had compassion on them and healed their sick. He wasn't bummed out. He wasn't sad. He wasn't depressed that he no longer got to do what his plan was. He had compassion on the people who were there who needed a touch from God. He didn't think only of his own wants and needs. He saw that there were hurting people who needed help. They needed to be reminded that there is a good and loving God who wants nothing more than to know and be known by them. Nothing more than that. But the story doesn't end there. Peter, as he's about to get into a boat with the other disciples, we see God also wants us to look for him in the detour. We're not supposed to just look for people. Looking for people is where it's at, let me tell you. Because God will speak to you and highlight for you people in your life that need a touch from God. And you're that person that's supposed to give that touch. But he also wants us to look for him. So we also look for God in the detour. We're going to keep going in Matthew 22, but a few verses later in Matthew chapter 14, a few verses later in verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them. I love thinking about what biblical characters are thinking when a thing happens. Anybody else ever do that? Like, what is going through your mind right before you know something crazy is about to happen? Like, I imagine Jesus sitting there going, like, thinking to himself, Dad, check this out. This is really going to freak them out. I mean, the wind and the waves are probably already scaring them half to death, but I'm about to walk on water out to them, and they're going to pee their pants. It's going to be awesome. Check it out. You're going to want to watch this, right? So shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Yeah. Anybody else ever wonder how they knew it was Jesus? He never said, hey, stop tripping, it's Jesus, right? He says, hey, no, what did he say? He said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. He never said his name. Was it the tone he used? Maybe the pitch? They knew his voice because they knew him, right? Yeah. They knew his voice because they knew him. They didn't just know about Jesus. It's not like, oh, hey, here's this dude who people are talking about. He heals people and multiplies food, right? No. They knew him. They knew him intimately. They knew him experientially. They've interacted with him before. They knew the thing that he said is something that the guy they knew would say. Because Jesus is somebody who is about driving away darkness and fear. That's something the guy we know would definitely say. He's light that drives away the darkness. It's the same way my children know my voice when I look at them in their eyes and I give them a big hug and I say, I love you. Or when I open up the back door and say, hey, quit riding the dog. Which is something I've had to yell out the back door. But still, Peter questioned and he doubted. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come out to you on the water. He wants so desperately to believe, but he wants proof. He also wants to be able to do those awesome things that Jesus is doing. It's like, God, I see these awesome things that you're doing. I want that too. So what's Jesus say? Let's go. He says, come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Anybody else ever wonder why he was so afraid? Why are you afraid? It's Jesus. If Jesus called me to walk on the water, I'm jumping out of that boat. But guess what? I know how to swim. Most first century people of that time had no clue how to swim. It was highly rare if you knew somebody who knew how to swim. Most of them didn't know it. So literally walking out of that boat was a death sentence if it didn't work. He knew that if this didn't work, if Jesus wasn't who he said he was, I'm going to die. But he gets out of the boat anyway, and he starts walking towards Jesus. But as he's sinking, as he has doubts and fears, he starts singing, he says, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. He says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Notice how he said, you of little faith. Like, to me, that's kind of an insult, right? Like, I mean, come on, I got out of the boat, right? But how many guys were still in the boat? At least he had some faith, right? Even though it was a little, he had enough to take a few steps, amen? That's good, right? And so when they climbed back into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. With the wind and the waves surrounding them, they look out. They see the embodiment of people who they know personally, walking and acting as though everything's completely normal. And what was Peter's reaction? I want that. I want that. I want to not just walk on water, but I want to keep my eyes on Jesus when life feels like it's crashing down all around me and I feel totally out of control. And then when you're on the other side, you do what it says at the end of our verse earlier. Colossians 3:17, right? Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You thank God for the detour. They got back in the boat and they worshiped because even though he almost drowned, Jesus saved him. Jesus brought him back in the boat. Jesus made everything better. Whatever the detour looks like, be thankful. Be thankful. If it's good, thank God for a blessing, right? Thankful for an opportunity to honor a person that God desperately loves and wants to care for. Thankful that whether you're in your darkest valley or the most amazingly beautiful mountaintop, God is working all things for his glory and for your benefit. Thankful that God can take something that seems impossibly broken and make it into something stunningly beautiful. In other words, you throw yourself a praise party, man. You get excited. You jump, you sing, you dance. You get excited because God's done something good, right? Not only did he bless them, he brought them back in the boat. They worshiped him, and then they went and saw more miracles. You get excited. You put on display for all to see the goodness of God. You make sure everybody around you knows that you love Jesus and he's a good God. Let me go one step further. If you're not embarrassing your children, your neighbors, or your friends with your extravagant praise, then you need to go harder. If I'm not jumping around, making my kids go, oh, that's my dad, he's so weird, you ain't going hard enough, right? Somebody needs to get up and give God some praise in this place for a detour he's just brought you out of. You need to get up and give God some praise in this place for a detour you may be right in the middle of. You need to get up and give God some praise in this place for a detour that you haven't entered yet, but it's something that's gonna bless you and honor God, amen? Come on. Maybe it was a blessing, and you need to be thankful for God reminding you that he's on his throne, and he is in control. Whether you feel like he is or not, he is. Or maybe it was your worst nightmare, and you don't see the end of the dark night yet. But can I tell you, church, that God is not done with you just because you can't see the way out yet. God wants to use you in your detour. Whatever it looks like, your mission, your focus, your singular goal is to look for God and look for people. When you can't stop thinking about somebody, stop. And don't just pray for them. Pray for them. But then reach out. God's put that person on your heart and on your mind for a purpose. Ask them to coffee that week. Ask them if you can help them in any way, right? Allow God to use you and your brokenness. You might just be exactly what somebody else needs in order to see that their brokenness can also be made beautiful by Jesus. You might be what God wants to use to show someone else how to surrender to him in your detour. And as you see God, as you experience him on your adventure, keep those eyes focused on him. Don't let the wind and the waves distract you from the one thing that can save you. Don't let anything keep your eyes off of that person, off of Jesus. Don't lose focus. Allow him to calm the storm that's surrounding you. And then go nuts in your praise for him. I'm not talking a little nuts. I'm talking crazy. Like those people might be out of their minds, right? And then what else? You can come to church. You sing, you dance like you've never done before. Our God is good and everybody should know it. Your dancing, your singing might be something that somebody three rows behind you needs to see to know that it's okay to be a little goofy for Jesus. Amen? Would you imagine with me for a second what it would look like in this place if we just looked for God and looked for people no matter what's going on around us? I see Jesus, I see my family, my friends, my coworkers in need. What would this place look like? The aisles so full of dancing and worship that the rows couldn't contain our excitement. We'd have to fill up the front and the aisles in the back row because I'm dancing too big for this space right here. I need more room, right? Instead of politics on Facebook and Instagram, we see report and testimony after testimony of the goodness of God in people's lives. If you think this place is growing now, think about how amazing it would be if all of Iowa knew about the amazing stories coming out of this place and out of the place out in Adel. Stories like I just heard this last weekend of a couple at our West Campus who were challenged by God to start tithing. They had their budget set, everything was fixed and in place, and then God says, hey, of the 100% of the money that you earn, would you honor me with 10%? Not because I need it, but because I want you to be obedient and I want to bless your life in that area of your life. And so they said yes. Talk about a curveball, right? Your budget's set and then God says, hey, can I have 10% of that? That's a curveball, amen? The next day, not a few months later, the next day she goes into work for her annual review. Not only does she get a raise, she gets a raise so big it blew her mind. She had to call her husband immediately because the testimony was so big. What happened next? They're like, hey, 10%, that's good enough. The next day, guess what happened? An opportunity come up for them to give some offerings in another area. More financial curveballs. So they're like, hey, you know, God was faithful when we gave our 10%. Let's see what happens when we give this too. The next day, in 1 week this happened. The next day, they get a call from their financial planner saying, hey, you know that IRA that we thought was gone and unrecoverable? Yeah, I found it and it's in your bank account. You're good to go. The next day. That's good, right? That's nothing compared to what God wants to do in our lives. That's awesome and it's great, but it's not the end of their story. It's not the end of your story. It's not the end of our story. They're not alone. Every week we hear story after story of the goodness of God in people's lives. We hear stories about people being healed in their bodies, cancer being gone in Jesus' name. We hear stories about people's jobs, they having favor in their workplaces and with their customers and employers. We hear stories about their relationships, husbands and wives reconciling, father hurts and their pains. We hear about emotions being restored, people having or being able to get off of anxiety and depression medication because the joy of the Lord is just filling them up. Imagine the awe on people's faces as we may be going through something that the world sees as an impossible detour, but we're still staying on mission. We're still loving God, loving people, and throwing a ridiculously crazy praise party in the midst of all of it. Would y'all stand with me tonight? Because there's somebody here in this place. You're here tonight or you're online, and you're in the midst of a detour. I can confidently tell you that you are not alone. That there are other people in this place who have been through detours, whether they're good or bad. It's part of life, right? Detours come. It's gonna happen. If you're not already in the middle of one. But you don't have to go through it by yourself. We're a family. I like to say it out west all the time. We're your family. If you need something, come talk to us. We want to help you. If you're going through something amazing, come talk to us. We want to praise with you. If you need help in any area of your life, come talk to us. And I'm not just talking about the staff and the pastors and the department heads. All of us, we're a family. We're here for you whenever you need us. And family looks after each other. But we also have a team of faith-filled, fired-up prayer warriors right down here, and they can't wait to pray for you. They can't wait to lay their hands on you and tell you that it's gonna be okay. Sorry, my voice is going. We gotta wrap this up. They can't wait to lay their hands on you and tell you that it's gonna be okay and remind you that we serve a good God who just can't wait to bless your life. They can't wait to be reminded of the goodness of God in your life after the good detour you just went through. And then they're gonna dance with you, right, Brad? You're gonna dance, you're gonna sing, you're gonna shout, you're gonna get excited because God is good. Allow these people to remind you where Jesus is. Allow these people to remind you how good He is. Allow these people to worship with you for the good report that you just got. Amen? But maybe you're here in this place and you have no idea what I'm talking about by the goodness of God. Maybe God hasn't been something that's been good in your life. Whether it's how you were raised or something that happened to you or around you, can I tell you that the Bible says that God loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his one and only son. He doesn't have a stockpile of kids up in heaven. It says, the Bible says that we've all sinned and we need to confess our sins to God, but we can't do that because of this barrier that's between him and us. So he sent the one thing that could help us, his only son, the thing he loved more than anything, because you and I needed him. The Bible says all you've got to do is confess your sins to him, believe in your heart that he is Lord, and you will be saved. That's it. You don't got to stop doing the stuff you're doing. You don't got to start coming to church every service, although that'll be good for you, right? You don't got to do anything else. You just got to confess your sins to him, ask him to come live in your life, and he will. No second questions, no conditions. He will be the Lord of your life. So if that's you in this place tonight, can I encourage you in a second? We're going to say a prayer one line at a time. And if you're saying, I need that Jesus in my life, I need God to come and help me through my detours because I can't do it alone anymore. Would you pray this prayer from the bottom of your heart? Would you ask God to come into your life and fill you up in such a way that no matter the detour, he's gonna bless you through it, amen? So let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you would with me, say this prayer one line at a time. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sins. He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness. I receive this new life. Help me to live it the way you designed it, special, just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Can we give God a hand clap of praise in this place? God is good, amen. Listen, whether you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, we want you to know that we're here for you. So there's a couple things we'd like you to do. Firstly, we'd love for you to just to tell somebody, whether that's on social media or the person standing right next to you, seal that thing as a promise in your heart that that's not gonna go away after tonight, right? Secondly, we want you to tell us, text the word saved to the number 25827. If you do that, this week in the mail, you'll get a package. It'll have a Bible in it, so you can start getting to know God the best way possible by reading his word. It's also going to have a CD of some of the type of worship songs we sing here on the weekend, so you can start filling yourself up during the week. Stick that in your car, put it on your iTunes, whatever you got to do to be reminded of the goodness of God. And lastly, it'll have a gift card to one of the local coffee shops. Just as our way of saying we want to bless you. We want you to go out and spend some time with God or with people and bless them too, right? But lastly, I would love for you to tell me. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to jump off the stage and give you a high five or anything like that. But I would like to know who you are so that I can pray for you right from where I'm at. So if everybody would bow their heads and close their eyes for me. In a second, I'm going to count to three. And after three, if that's you, you prayed that prayer tonight. Nobody's looking around. I'm the only one. If you would pop your hand up so that I can pray for you, I would love nothing more than to ask God to bless your life. One, two, three. Right now, hands going up. Come on, one, two. Yeah, praise God. Anybody else? Three. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Yeah, praise God. Come on. Would everybody raise their hands with me and ask God to bless those people? Jesus, I pray in your Holy Spirit that you would bless and empower those people to do good works. I pray that whatever detour they're going through or just got out of or about to enter, that you would give them strength, you would give them courage, you would give them hope that tomorrow is going to be better than yesterday, and that we as a church are going to surround them, we're going to love them, we're going to be their strength when they don't have any strength, we're going to be the faith for them, we're going to give them some of our faith when they don't have enough. God, we are going to give them everything they need as the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Give God some praise in this place. Yeah. Listen, I'm about to walk off this stage, and Pastor Jesse's going to come back for tonight's offering, but I would encourage you again, as soon as those buckets go by, as soon as they go by, these people are prayed up and waiting and expectant to pray for people. If you're in a detour, if you just got out of a detour, if you're about to enter a detour, whatever it is, we got plenty of room, we got plenty of prayer warriors, amen? Let's give it up for God as Pastor Jesse gives the offering word tonight.
Awesome. Come on, what a great word from Pastor Sean tonight. Can we thank him one more time? Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and to honor those that bring the word. Amen. So come on, let's give him a little bit more honor right now. Come on. You glad to come to church today? I'm just so glad we're in a church where it's not about one preacher or one worship leader or one connect group leader. It's about a bunch of us just serving God, doing what we can do to tell Iowa that Jesus loves you, that God's got great plans for your life. No matter what's going on, the best is yet to come. Amen. And so get out there this weekend, embrace the unexpected. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.